Your relationship to money is no more than a reflection to the relationship you have to yourself. And if you haven't chosen to accept who you are, the good, the bad, the glory and imperfections, then you're going to try to mask that by having more money in your life, but it won't help. It'll only hurt.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
Hey, 18 Summers Tribe. Jim and Jamie back, and we're here with a very good friend of ours who's not only been a friend, a colleague, a mentor, a collaborator,
Mr. Ballbuster.
Ballbuster, which we really appreciate. Yeah. Mr. Garrett Gunderson. Garrett, how you doing, buddy?
Doing really good. Like, we were just talking before we hit record. But we probably still would be, if it wasn't for Jamie, we'd be just talking without recording. So thank you for that.
And you got to see my annoying 3-2-1 before we actually start. That drives her nuts.
So I just went to mastermind talks, and Breck, my oldest, sorry, my wife just got home, so the dog's excited. I don't know, but we've trained him in every way other than he just can't help but bark when people come.
We're used to it.
So I brought Breck to mastermind talks, my oldest.
That's awesome. I wish I would have known.
See, if we had known, as you know, we try to make that every time. And especially the boys knowing each other, our boys knowing Breck.
That the boys staffed it the last two times. So oh my gosh, I hate to miss that.
Yeah.
He loved it. Like, he's got this like crooked grin that's really cute. And when he filled out what his thing was, they like, he goes, Garrett's son. But by the end of the week, I was Breck's dad. Like, everyone's like, oh, you're Breck's dad, which I thought was cool. Like, he was just sitting there with the last night, and I went in to go to bed early because we had to get up at 2 a.m. And he came in like a couple hours later. He was holding court on hip hop, teaching everybody on the staff about it. It was fun, man. It was like, it's really cool to see how far he's come. And like, he's heading to Canada this week because I'm speaking there. And he was at Canada last time I spoke, and they said, hey, do you want to come? And he said, yeah. So he's flying by himself, which is cool, to international for the first time. So, and we're meeting there because I'm going to be coming from Vegas.
Well, isn't it cool to watch this all kind of come together? I mean, we've known each other for years and gone up in the ranks from family events to other events, but to watch them kind of move forward, you know, like especially Breck and our son Alden, I mean, that's kind of priceless. And that's kind of what we're talking about today.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I'm on a speaking tour with my book, Money Unmasked, and he's just coming to most of the sessions because I want him to hear the conversations with other people. Yeah. I want him to like see how entrepreneurs think and how these great people that are in the room, like what their thoughts are. And it's cool because some are like, man, I should have my boys volunteer, my kids volunteer because they saw Breck there. So that's inspiring them. And I just think it was one of the better weeks of his life. He just seemed to have fun. I didn't set any alarms for him. He just got up when he needed to be there. Did his thing. Like, they said he was just such a gentleman, like always holding the door for people, helping out every way that he possibly could. Yeah. So it was so really cool
when like they have a passion or they get excited about something that you've modeled for them.
And you're involving them. Remember that old saying, tell me I'll forget, show me I might remember, involve me and I'll understand. Involving them takes more effort though. There's more coordination, but you're doing that. I know that's something you and I have definitely had offline conversations about, that commitment where people are like, oh, it's too much work, or I don't know if kids are really welcome there. And you and I are kind of like, F that. Our sons are coming. We want them to be involved in what we're doing and understand it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool because I kind of feel like I wrote this book to my kids. I like having a reader in mind. And I'm like, and if the kids could understand it, then adults could understand it. And some of my books have been, I think, like stale and academic, even though the content's really good. This book's a lot more heartfelt. But what I love about it is there's these four money personas, and my kids know the money personas, and we'll watch TV shows and they'll be like calling out the money personas. So there's four shadow personas: the miser, conservative, striver, and high roller. And so we're watching Parks and Rec, and my son is like, hey, that person, let me think, like Leslie's the striver. I'm like, yep, Leslie's the striver. He's like, Tom's the high roller. So he's like calling out the characters when he was 13 years old, based upon this content. And it's led to all these conversations that I didn't have to force upon them. I didn't have to be like, hey guys, I know about money. Let me teach you about money. We were in Spain earlier this year and they were just asking questions about money and finance. And Carrie just kept going like, are you listening? This is amazing. Like, they're coming to you. That's kind of a cool process because I made the book more fun with like more emotion and more heartfelt. And the fact that it really impacted them, Like, I've already won. Whatever it does from here is gravy, you know?
And so tell us more about these four personas. How do you use it as a tool with the boys?
Well, first off, I wanted someone else to come up with them. I didn't want to figure this out. It was too much work. I was always like, hey, could someone have like money personas or money personalities? And they were all pretty rudimentary. They're always like spender, saver, giver, avoider. I was like, okay, that's helpful, but I want something more in depth. And so there's four shadow personas and four winning personas. The shadow personas are when people are in selfishness, scarcity, and isolation. And if they can flip to abundance and think in co-creation, delegation, and collaboration, and value creation, they can move to that winning persona. So the miser plays a game called preservation, ends up with funds that they simply, I don't know, they won't spend because they are addicted to holding on to what they've got. But if they flip to their winning persona, the mindful manager, they're detail-oriented, they're efficient, they're great at improving things. They become instrumental to an organization that's looking to reduce waste and enhance ideas and be more resourceful. So it's a perspective. The person's the same. It's just how they implement and create value in the world. So there's the conservative that plays a game called accumulation. They end up with funds they can't spend because they're afraid they're never going to have enough. Or on the flip side is the planner. The planner is a stable, thoughtful, and strategic person. They're instrumental for organizations looking to reduce risk, plan for contingencies, and monitor the effectiveness and efficiency of any initiative. So that's the difference, is like most people think negatively and only about their negative persona, but there's characteristics, if applied in serving others, solving problems, and adding value, that unlocks that person to actually build more wealth and enjoy life a lot more. So those are both playing not to lose, which are scarcity, but there's also playing to win, which is scarcity, because playing to win is never enjoying the moment. It's hustle, grind, and work at the expense of family and quality time and quality of life. And so those personas are the striver that plays a game called status, but they inevitably burn out. But on the flip side is the creator, who's an artist, an inventor, or an entrepreneur. They lead with innovation and ingenuity, and they create new ways for everybody to deliver value. There's the high roller, which is, they can seem narcissistic, be like a name dropper or one upper, and they play a game called opportunity, but they're likely to end up bankrupt because they take on too much risk, and that leaves the short-lived riches. On the flip side, though, is the catalyst, a visionary, a mover and shaker, a connector. They think and play big and show us ways we can all win together. So that's a really quick broad stroke of these money personas on the shadow and winning side.
And now, Garrett, is it important to play one role and stick that out? Or do you recommend that you diversify your money persona by being a little bit of all of them in the light?
You find the winning personas that you are not, so you could utilize their skills and leverage yours. You might, like, I grew up a miser because that's what I was trained. Like, hey, like, my great-grandfather was separated from his wife for 7 years. She lived in Italy. He lived in America. He had to live in a tent to save up money to get her to come over. That created scarcity in my family. So we were misers. We knew where the cheapest gas was, where the cheapest food is, which days to buy on double coupons. Like, you just spend so much effort on cutting back that that reduction minimizes production. So
it takes a lot of mind space to be scarce, doesn't it?
Right. I've spent most of my time as a striver, right? And so the good side of the striver is the creator. Like, so when I'm writing books and I'm on things like this, like, it's only when I let that consume so much that I lose track of who I am and my family and my health. When I push so hard, I push others away. That's what a striver does. It's a frenetic pace, and it's exhausting for people that are on the striver because it's never enough. There's always more, right? Where the creator is like, has boundaries and realizes there's like depth and harmony to life when you live intentionally. And it's not about getting somewhere. It's about designing a life you don't want to retire from. And it's about offloading things so you do only what you do best, and then take time each day for yourself and for the people you love, not just for your clients. And so it's like, that's a tale we've heard over and over. But what most people have confused, like, I've been in groups that you guys have been in where people play to win, like they're crazy play to win, like, I will out hustle you, I will outwork you, I want more and bigger. And it's like an addiction. But I believe in this concept of win first, then play. When you know your win, you've already won. When you design a life you don't want to retire from, you've already won. When you enjoy the work, but you have a life outside of work, you've already won. You lose when you sacrifice everything that matters in pursuit of one thing that even when you get it, you don't give a shit once you get there. Look, man, I was interviewing Grant Cardone. He had had a big award that day. I'm like, did you celebrate? He goes, no, next thing. I'm like, how fun? Well, then why? Who cares? It's when we're trying to prove something to ourselves, thinking we'll be more lovable, but we don't love ourselves. So we keep pursuing that, thinking that other people love us more, but more people think we're dicks. More people think we're exhausting. More people think we're only about ourselves because we're trying to prove something rather than just be with someone.
You know, Garrett, this really strikes home on a lot of levels, not only self-reflecting, but also as we talked about, how do we start to impart to our children, you know, not do the push-ups for them, but also give them healthy direction so they don't have to go through as much pain and toil. But what do you think really helps that shift to going from really plugging into your negative traits to your positive? I can tell you one of the things in the last few weeks when you and I were having side conversations, our good friend got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. I can't tell you the reflection that's created in me. Does it have to be something like that? Or is there a point where we don't have to get to something that's serious?
My first shift that I remember that was substantial was a conversation. And this person I considered ahead of me and very successful. And she just asked me about my philosophy around money and asked me like four or five questions. I was a miser at the time. So at the end of those questions, she goes, I wonder what it's like to live in the financial prison you built for your wife.
I was like, oh, God.
Oh, I'm the asshole. I'm like, what? I'm such a dick. And I just didn't know. But fortunately, my wife can be sweet at times. And she was like, you just did what you thought was best for the family. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, yeah, but I was like, I now had a paradigm shift. So we can have that paradigm shift with drama and trauma, but it's not required. I had business partners die in a plane crash. That was drama and trauma. I had a shift. I had that Nancy really hit me with the financial prison. That was drama and trauma. I was in a place in 08 where I had gained 40 pounds and I got most of my gray hair. I mean, it's sexy as fuck now, but then it was not, you know. Yeah. So anyway, like we can have those moments through awareness. It begins with awareness. Rather than playing the four losing games of the miser, conservative, striver, and high roller, we can flip to the winning personas, the mindful manager, the planner, the creator, the catalyst. But it begins with awareness, an abundant vision, and allowing other people to support you. So pain shows up in our life and has us examine life. Sometimes it requires that pain to get that examination. Unfortunately, some people stay stuck in loops. When you hit a loop in pain, it means you need to let other people in. Sometimes men have a hard time doing this because we're taught to be alpha and that alpha is sexy. And alpha is sexy at times. But then there's times where alpha is pig-headed and abusive and annoying. And what it took me is to understand that beta doesn't mean that I'm a pussy. Beta means I'm receiving. And sometimes when we're always giving, we never give a room for receiving. And what I found out is the more fucked up I am, the more my wife loves me. The more I share my pain and problems, the more she hugs me and is there for me. And it's an amazing situation. So I start seeing pain as this gift. It's like a tap on the shoulder of like, hey, let me adjust you back to a place that might be more beneficial. But we have to examine our life and say, do we like our results or not like our results? Because those are evidence of our behavior and the outcomes. And when we get off of the track of our winning game or living by value creation or putting quality of life at the forefront, then we start to get to a place where our health suffers, our family suffers. And if we are open enough that we allow people to call us out, which most people aren't, most people that we think are assholes are just people that we have allowed to be assholes because we aren't willing to have a conversation with them. Like I remember someone very close to our family was being an asshole. And I finally was like, I'm going to say something. And my wife's like, they're never going to listen. But nobody had ever called them out. I called them out in this way. I took responsibility for my actions, thoughts, and reactions. And I talked about my feelings instead of I was placing blame on them. And they responded by changing because they had new information. Mm. And so, unfortunately, most people, they get new information because we're too busy people-pleasing and keeping the peace to actually tell the truth. The truth is turbulent. The truth causes waves. But it also causes freedom and an outcome of a life that we love. It's just we have to be brave enough to speak that truth and allow others to speak truth and give us feedback. I just heard someone at Mastermind Talk say, when you give a compliment and gratitude, that's a gift for someone, he said. But so is criticism if it comes from a place of investing in them. We're investing in them. And I was like, yeah, what if you looked at criticism, not as being critical and a dick, but is investing in, is this the result that you want? Because this is how it makes me feel. And as long as we stick to, this is how I feel, instead of this is what you did. So it's like, when this happened, this is how I felt. People, they don't build up the walls quite as much. And if you can take responsibility for your part in it before saying how you felt, they'll actually often self-examine. And if they won't, it's okay to part as friends and not have to invest a lot of time in them.
Now, Garrett, how does somebody go from, like, you know, Jim had a big relationship shift in money, and it really came, his, similar to you, was grounded from the way in which he was raised. It was scarcity, put your head in the sand, keep moving forward. But he didn't want to, and I'm not outing you. I feel like—
No, I've talked about this. We've talked about this lots of times.
Probably with Garrett before. But
you should out me then. This is a, you know, and open
so,
show.
And so it was like—
What you're saying is that she's not a good thing to share, but she's got plenty to share about you.
Oh, we need a longer episode then.
So we had a beginning period of our relationship together where I was the one looking at the money, but he was the one making the money. And there was just this disconnect because I knew how he felt in that fear and scarcity and blinders on. And here I was like, oh gosh, how can I tell him anything? You know, as you're saying with you and Carrie, like, it's just a different kind of dynamic. And luckily for us, we've progressed from there medicinally. But the reason I bring this up is because as soon as his mind shifted around it, like, we have more enjoyment, more freedom, more money, like, everything escalated because he took away the constraints of scarcity. Now, not everybody listening is going to be like, oh, well, let me go on this same medicinal journey and realize that I have a bad relationship with money. How do you encourage people to go from their shadow financial self into the light?
They buy my shit mainly. I mean,
take some criticism from Garrett.
After we read all of your books. Yes.
Oh my God, there was someone said, what books do you recommend I read about money when I was doing this event in January? Oh, and I literally took 5 minutes going, Killing Sacred Cows, write that one down. What would the Rockefellers do? You might want to pick up 5-Day Weekend, maybe The Money Tree. And they didn't know they were all by me. And then the person, your books. I'm like, yes, my books. That's true. I like them the most. Look, I have these questions that I wrote for Valentine's Day. And Carrie and I sat down. And it was just 20 questions around money. Because I wanted to like understand deeply like where her belief systems came from. And where I might push against those belief systems because mine are different. Like, the money persona has changed my relationship with Carrie when it comes to money because she's a conservative planner and I'm a striver creator. And what I used to look at that as is I was the gas and she was the brakes. But now I look at it as she's the guardrails and I'm the initiator. And what happens is now we stay on track because she asks questions that I don't ask until it's too late. And now if we ask those questions up front, it saves us so much time and pain in the long term. And because she's a conservative planner, I just said, hey, what amount of money would we have set aside that makes you feel like you could sleep well at night, that you know that that's there for peace of mind? Her number is a lot bigger than my number, but I was like, I'm cool with that because that's what makes her feel really comfortable. When I had that set, now when I'm like, hey, I'm in my 40s and I want to be a comedian, she's like, cool, yeah, let's do that. Now, if I didn't have that number, she's probably like, I don't know if you're funny. Like, maybe we shouldn't do that shit. You know? It's a different conversation. So, like, knowing the money persona is really helpful. And even asking certain questions for where your origin of money and belief system came from. When was the first time you thought about money and remember money? When was the first time you had a positive thought about money? When was the first time you had a negative thought about money? When was the first time you got in a fight about money? When was the first time you felt like you didn't have enough money? When was the first time you felt like you were alone and had money that had to take care of you and not someone else? Like, as soon as you get to these statements, you'll start to recognize the conversations you heard when you were a child before your brain was developed that are still running what's going on in your money. And so here's the deal. Your relationship to money is no more than a reflection to the relationship you have to yourself. And if you haven't chosen to accept who you are, the good, the bad, the glory and imperfections, then you're going to try to mask that by having more money in your life, but it won't help. It'll only hurt Because now you're going, I have more money. Am I more lovable? You don't give a shit. What if I have more money? Now? What if I drive a better car? How about now? What if I get a bigger house? And you're like, you know, I'm tired of hearing about your douchebag shit. Just like, what can we just have a conversation? Right. Or the other person that's like, hey, now I found out that nickels are worth more than 5 cents. So I'm going to start hoarding nickels. Like literally misers do that. Or like, I don't need to buy this because I could drive 40 miles to borrow it. Like what happens is that people discount themselves because they don't feel worthy. And if we can understand our worth, money is a byproduct of our worth. When we don't understand our worth is a byproduct of our money, which is a dangerous ass place to be, because money is nothing more than a representation of value. And when we see ourselves as less valuable than our money, we will sabotage that shit and reduce it to where our value and worth is, or we'll ignore it and then put ourselves and be susceptible to lose it because we didn't protect it, or we'll hoard it at the expense of who we are and our enjoyment in life. You can see all of this is interconnected. And that's why the book had to be written, because I needed to heal from this shit myself. Like for a long time in my life, I was like, hey, look how big my business is. Am I cool now? Can I be in the cool kids club? Well, how about if I have longer hair? What about if there's gray? Like, what if I have more employees? What if my net worth's bigger? Nobody even knows what your net worth is. Nobody even knows. Nobody gives a shit. That's the thing. This is the good and bad news. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. They only care in a few ways. One, you've shined a light on them they weren't prepared to look at. So they're going to lash out at you and make you the villain. Or you're being an asshole and you're using your money to make other people feel insignificant and not telling the truth, because you took a picture of an Airbnb that's not yours or a car that you rented. That's the financial dick pic. You're just being a dick. That's what that is, right? So like, what happens when we stop seeing money and we just see people? Fucking everything gets better. When you're just like, hey, these are my friends. We're just hanging out without the pretense and without the measuring each other's dicks or whatever it is. Like, sorry, I know that you, you know, measuring your clit. I don't know. Like,
we're just learning anatomy this one. So.
Yeah.
You know what I love too, which I know we've talked about. I know you're familiar with unique ability, and I used to beat the hell out of myself where I wasn't good at certain things. I mean, getting to know you well, you're a great creator. I got to tell you, you would probably be a really shitty planner. And I think you're starting to own that. And that's part of the key, I think, where you said you surround yourself with these other roles. And that's half the key, right? Because you could say, wow, I'm being a great creator. And so you move your way over there. But I'm really not a great planner. I'm not this. And then you start to focus on that. And we've struggled through that, like to fit our best purpose and not become something we're not. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
I'm a shitty planner. Like I'm really good at content creation, but I sold my business and didn't even review the contract on the sale. And it turns out I didn't like the contract, but I just didn't pay attention to the details.
Yeah. And that's why we figure out what our best roles are. And if we're not
that's
them,
why you have the other winning personas and you utilize their skills so that you could leverage yours. You know, it's not an excuse to be bad at things. It's not an excuse to neglect things. It's an excuse to pay attention and make sure you have the right people around you.
Exactly.
And look, you're not all one persona. You just have a persona that you probably lead in and one that's your secondary persona that you follow. And then there's probably two that don't really describe you in any way, shape or form.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Now, is Breck 18, 19? How old is he now?
6'6" and 18.
He said he has this little smile. I'm like, he towers over me now. So,
yeah. We have friends that came in. We hadn't seen them since October of 2022. And my youngest is now taller than both of them. And they're like, man, you're taller than me. He goes, like 5'1". You just make fun of him. You know, like, they're just little a-holes, just like me. Like when we work out most days, me, Breck, and Carrie, and Breck's just teasing his mom with the same stuff I tease her with. So it's really fun. Like he's traveling with me. It's really cool. And like I remember at your event that we went to board meetings forever ago, and you asked him what he wanted to be when he grew up, and he wrote down happy. So like, I actually have that in one of my keynotes, because John Lennon said that his mom said the key to life is, you know, to be happy. And then Lennon goes to school and they're like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he said the same thing Brecht did. He said happy. And the teacher said, I don't think you understand the assignment. And Lennon said, I don't think you understand life. Right. And so, yeah.
So how do you have these conversations? Where do you start? Obviously, you're the money guy. So it's easy. Maybe it's easy for you. For us, I hope as we have progressed in our relationship with money that we've communicated better and made a better example to our children with money. We talk openly about money. What are some big things that you do in your home? Everything from systems that you have in place to words you tell them. What does that look like?
Yeah, like I'm really like, I look at semantics matter because all wealth is from conversation. So if I hear them say something like, I can't afford, I'm like, oh, that's wrong. Let's say, how could you afford? Mm-hmm. What would it take? Do you value it? So it's more those subtle things. I really don't push it on them until they start asking. But when they ask, they'll ask about anything from crypto to business to different things like that. And then that's when I really lean in. And like, I'm putting videos on YouTube all the time. I know they've seen some of those. I wrote a theatrical keynote. They've watched it that is related to the book. And that really helped us have these conversations. And the comedy is what really turned it around because they had to help me rehearse and they love listening to the comedy. But there's little vignettes inside of there, like little memes almost, that I'm like, hey, money, make me happy. That's one of the lines. And I'm like, that's not how it works. And so we get to have those conversations. So it's not something that I'm doing on a daily basis or that is scheduled. We do have some scheduled family meetings. Money doesn't always come up in those meetings, right? Sometimes it's just conversations. But every now and again, when we're on vacation or we're at the cabin or we're taking a walk, I'm just trading conditions. Carrie taught me this. Carrie always drives our boys and she stays quiet and lets them start the conversation.
So smart.
And like, I'm a talker, as you guys know. So like, I've had to learn, like, I'm just quiet till they start speaking. And when they finally ask about, then I lean in. And then I really get into it in a bigger way. And I've found that as they get older, it just becomes more interesting to them. Like, wants to work out, do the cold plunge, get vitamin D, because he's got hormones and he's horny and he wants to look good for girls. You know what I'm saying? So like, he's asking me what books he should read. And we're talking about, like, it comes up more naturally. If I would have force fed it for him, I think it would have been more detrimental to them. So they get to watch me speak. They get to watch my videos. We get to have basic conversations, but I lean in when the time comes from them, not me.
What's the number one thing you want them to take away from your example with money?
That I live my life where money is a consideration, not the consideration. Like, I do the things because they bring me joy and quality of life, not because they bring me money. Yes, it works hand in hand often. But like, being a comedian isn't the best way for me to make money. Like, what the best way for me to make money would be stay involved with Wealth Factory, but I couldn't be an artist anymore. So I sold it because that wasn't what I wanted to do. And they watch me struggle with something new and get excited about it, but stick with it until it becomes profitable. So I think that what I want them to learn is that money is a terrible solo artist, but a great companion. Use it to be a byproduct, not to be a purpose.
Yeah. You know, Garrett, there's something I think we talked about and I wanted to get your take on it. What Jamie and I decided to do is, you know, we all hear about the sex talk, right? Talk to your kids about sex. Yeah. Well, that's an important subject, but we decided years ago when the boys were about 15 to have the money talk.
Yeah.
And because no one ever talked to me about it, but when we talked about the money talk, like, we actually sat down and shared, here's what we've done. Here's how we've created our wealth. Here's where our wealth sits. Here's where I almost lost it all in 08. And here's what happened. Like, we went through the whole mapping and showed it to
them. Hero's journey of our bank accounts.
And some people say, I can't believe you'd show your kids, share your finances with them. I'm like, well, how are they ever supposed to feel responsible? We have a caveat. We said, look, we have certain core values, as you guys know, tied to our family money. It's not to be really discussed outside the house. If you decide to do certain things like follow the path of addiction, like, we'll still love you, but you might get nothing. So no, this isn't guaranteed.
Well, and also that they know it's our money, not their money.
Yeah. And we've kind of taken that approach. How do you feel about, I mean, we've openly shared, the boys can sit in on our Thursday meetings with our CFO.
Every Thursday.
We just thought that was important because sometimes, you know what, we're doing great. Other times it's like, man, we've thrown the line out too far and we're feeling a little scrimpy.
Yep.
But I think it's good for them to see that. I mean, do you feel that's appropriate?
I think you guys are 100% spot on with that. I think it's great. Like, the book, The Millionaire Next Door.
Yep.
Here's the problem with that book. They never have conversations with their kids. They need to write a sequel called The Kids of the Millionaire Next Door. They blow the money because they didn't know the family had it. Yeah. They didn't talk about it. They drove their beater truck. They wore their old clothes. And so they were taught how to be a miserable, broke millionaire. And then all of a sudden, they're like, wait, we have all this money, and they just blow it. So I think having conversations around money, money philosophy, how to handle money, all that kind of stuff is critical. It's important. As a matter of fact, I'm starting early. I have this book coming out in January. I Am Money, I Don't Grow on Trees, and money is the character.
That's awesome.
I don't think that was mentioned. I don't think I knew.
We didn't know about that.
You know, I just want to keep being a guest as often as possible.
I love it. Out.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's so awesome.
What's the theme of that one? Tell us, we want to focus on money unmasked, but what's the theme of that one?
So, money's the character, and that it doesn't grow on trees, otherwise it wouldn't be worth very much. It turns out it's really helpful for the basic things in life. It can actually make you feel a little bit happier. But after the basic things are covered, money doesn't have a direct correlation to happiness. So yeah, like if it helps you pay the bills, it helps you have shelter, it helps you have food. They've done plenty of studies, direct correlation. After that, it's all over the map. So what do you need to know about it? How to earn it, how to save it, how to spend it, and how to give it away. See, because when you get to a place where you've taken care of yourself and you've invested in yourself as your best asset, you can do the coolest thing. You could share. And so that's kind of the concept of the book, is how to get to abundance versus survival.
Mm, that's so cool. And now, when does Money Unmasked come out?
October 3rd.
That's so soon.
If they want to see my comedy, we're giving them comedy with it as a bonus. We're giving them Money Persona workbook and audio with it. We're giving them the Money Persona quiz with it. So each bonus is super valuable. And if they share the book with three people, they get our $500 digital course for free on all concepts around vision and recovering cash and all the main concepts in the book in a course. So we're bribing the shit out of people because I want to see.
But where do we find it?
Yeah, well, we'll have it in the show notes.
MoneyUnmasked.com. MoneyUnmasked.com.
Love it. So we'll make sure that this airs right that week.
As we promised. Yeah, next week we'll get it out right for the launch. And
that's so exciting.
Yeah, we've enjoyed all the other books, our conversations, our retreats together, our conversations, and I know this will continue.
I do have a question though. Yeah. The 20 relationship questions that you and Carrie talked about, are those anywhere? Where do those live?
I'm happy to just give them. I just wrote them for myself. I'm happy to send them to you.
I would love to have that as a tool.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. Yeah,
that'd be awesome. Of course, giving you credit, but I think that's a really cool tool. So often we hear families that didn't talk about things like having children ahead of time or how they manage money ahead of time. And it blows our mind that sometimes these conversations aren't held. And even some of the things that you said, I'm like, gosh, I need to spend a minute thinking about when were those first experiences. I think that's super powerful. Although we are very open and talk about money all the time, knowing those foundations is.
But questions trigger things so directly, it just pinpoints, you know?
We
so,
like yeah, it for date night.
Yeah,
we like to just ask questions, right? And there's a lot that I didn't know about how she grew up and money and stuff like that that was super helpful to understand and talk about. So, and same for me. It was a really good conversation. Some of the questions were like short and other ones we went in deeper. So just use what works well for you and discard the rest. But like I've been married to Carrie for 21 years and learned a lot from these questions. And I like to go back and ask questions that I've never asked her before. And like, we like to go back and like relive moments from my perspective when I was dating her, what I was thinking, but not saying, and then like what she was thinking, and like questions can help you talk about all that and the different phases of your marriage and stuff. I'm like, we're 21 years in and it still feels really fresh and new. One, I'm a completely different person than she married. Like I was a complete jackass. I'm only half jackass now. You know what I'm saying? I'm almost all grown up. So,
well, I'm sure we're going to enjoy those questions. And after Jamie and I go through them, I'm going to look at her and say, I'm so glad I created these questions. Just so she gives me that dirty look, like says, you're still a full jackass. Yeah. Thank you, Garrett.
Thanks for having me.
Now, well, we love having you on, buddy. It's been a pleasure to watch our families grow up together and to continue to collaborate and mastermind together. We really appreciate all your insights and the open sharing we've always had with each other. We're fully supportive of Money Unmasked. I'm looking forward to learning more. Because just that one paradigm shift of going from the striver to the creator, that's so important for me and probably a lot of others. And I know everyone has different roles. I'd say that's my role. Mm, so,
that's great that you identified yourself.
I did right away. I'm like, holy cow.
I thought it was you too.
I knew you did. Garrett could have called me out too. He could have said, stop striving, bitch, be a creator. So, well, we appreciate you. We'll have you on again soon for the next book.
Take care.
Good to see you guys. Can't wait to see you in person. Hopefully soon.
Yeah, buddy. Hopefully soon.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.